and we're alive for now.
It took 7 months for you. I've been doing podcasts.
Yeah, we've been here a long time. You're just backfilling.
This is true. Had a lot going on this year. Had a lot of race cars to work on. A lot of things that just kind of didn't work out for podcast land. But we got plans. I've actually got a little studio set up at home now. So we're going to try to do a weekly show solo. Maybe get some phone-in stuff. Maybe work with Jimmy Miller on his podcast.
It's in the works.
He can't figure out a name for it, so
it's midget something. Nothing sounds politically correct yet.
Who cares if it sounds politically correct? Trump's president. PC's gone. It's gone.
God bless America.
Does that mean I don't have to be PC on the Champ Car Cast anymore?
That's up to Greg. Because Greg's your keeper. Basically, what we're doing today is there's been a lot of stuff going on at PRI. Some good, some bad, some interesting, but a lot of talking points. But on the show today, we've got Jimmy Miller. I guess he races cars every once in a while. He's got a micro and he's got a midget, but he's kind of too big of a wuss to race it because the last time he ran it, he almost lost a nut at Belleville.
Yeah.
Because
he
drove over an infield tire?
No, the infield wall.
Oh, even worse.
Clipped the exit there, and it kind of went tumbled.
You didn't hit a black tire on a dark racetrack. You hit a bright white concrete wall.
Well, going from a micro to a midget, it's way wider than the micro, so it happens.
No, it definitely happened.
Trust me.
It happened, but that's not saying much. But anyway, going to DeCoin. You're not racing.
Nope, not racing. We got Chris Andrews from Tulsa, Oklahoma in the car. The amazing shoe from the micro sprints, last year's non-wing Tulsa shootout winner, a couple of years before that non-wing Tulsa shootout winner. So
he's pretty good.
He's pretty good in the midget.
He's won some races.
He's pretty good. He's a good guy too, so he'll be able to at least give you feedback and kind of tell you, you know, not to run over shit.
Yeah.
that's the main thing. The other guy you heard is the guy from the Champ Car Cast, Jared Chambers. He's kind of married now, which that was a fun wedding. Jimmy wouldn't know because he wasn't there.
We had racing stuff to do.
Yeah, this is true. Me and part of the Peanut Gallery. We got a Peanut Gallery here. Eric Smith, Dallas Breeze, and then this guy to AJ's his name. He's a late model guy, so I don't really give a shit about him. He's cool, though. He's cool. He's drinking bourbon, but he asked for something a little bit softer. I don't even know what that means. But Dallas is a heck of a photographer. Check him out on Facebook, too. Over the Wall Photography. He does some really cool stuff. Got a Over the Wall.
Holy damn, that's him. Okay.
See? The Sprint Car Show.
Yeah.
Making friends.
Yeah.
That's what we do. But badass photographer and a good dude. Got hooked up with him last year. And then Eric Smith, he's just Eric.
He's right now the owner of the proprietor.
But yes, he is actually the proprietor of the studio where we're doing this at. It's a hotel, so, you know, whatever. Thanks, Eric, for the beer, too.
Yep.
But that's the Peanut Gallery, so give yourselves a round of applause. All right, good golf clap. But first on the docket, everybody go to DeCoin. There's a stupid late model race in St. Louis next weekend, which that's Indian Doors version 2.0, and it's going to suck because people don't realize that, yes, you run late models at Little Belleville, but Little Belleville has a ton of bank to it. This place is not going to. It's going to be real shitty.
I'm keeping an open mind.
Yeah, I had an open mind about Indy Indoors last year.
And you totally dicked me. Yeah.
So it really wasn't worth it. But everybody go to DeCoin. Going to be a good race. 60-something race cars are already entered. No lights on them as of yet.
Not yet.
There's been a kind of an interesting deal. If you haven't heard, there's a USAC midget sitting at their booth at PRI, and I just went and looked at it today, that's got a dash light that's a big yellow light, and then it's also got three lights on the back of it. It's kind of weird. May work, may not, but the theory is the dash light is a yellow light that when the yellow comes out, it's going to signal to the driver, hey, the yellow's out. The rear lights, from what I've been told, they are not mandatory right now because they're still finalizing everything, but per someone at USAC today at their booth, they stated that it is going to be required some point before the end of the year. Whether it happens or not, not sure. It's not going to be an added cost to the teams, so that is a plus. That was one of my very big concerns. It's all going to be a self-contained unit. They're going to do it like a transponder. but non-USAC teams are going to have to drill a hole in their dash, put this big light in there. It's not a dummy light. This thing's a big, like almost like a trailer light. I mean, it's huge. And then on the back of the car, on the back of the cage, there's going to be three lights. Those three lights, if you're leading the race, it's green. If you're in second, two lights light up. If you're third, three lights light up. I guess it's kind of like the LMS or what is that crap?
The position lights.
Yeah, position lights for like sports car stuff.
Well, and like the Indy cars have them now too.
The Indy cars have them now too. Kind of cool. Blah 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 blah. But I don't really know if it's that part of it's needed. But the rest of the field, they're not lit until the race goes yellow or red. A couple of the things that I thought was kind of interesting was, and actually I talked to a few drivers today, that they all really didn't understand why this was coming up. I think we all secretly know why it's coming up, but I really don't know if anything would have helped there. Maybe it would have. I don't know. But I don't think that what the consensus was, if a car is cocked through the corner, you're not going to see those lights anyway, because they're basically facing towards the outside of the racetrack, because dirt cars run sideways through a corner. I don't know what, I'm kind of torn on it. I think it's kind of silly. I think it's kind of something that's not necessarily needed. I would say if USAC wants to make the racing safer, maybe put the lights in like they did at Eldora. You know, the wheeling lights, the big lights. If you're going to invest all this money in this new technology and wireless transmitters and making teams do all this work and everything else, why not donate that money that you were going to spend there to putting in new lights at Kokomo, Gas City, the places that you run that are USAC quote-unquote sanctioned tracks, put the lights in, so that way they're more, and then you have control of those lights. Because some lights are better than others. Jimmy, you've run a lot of racetracks, so have I. Jared, you've been to a ton. Some racetracks are better lit than others. Some racetracks have better lights than others. Some of them you can barely see.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that is a fact.
So, if you... I don't know. Thoughts? Concerns? You own a midget. What does this make you do for...
A, I want to know what else we're going to have to put on the car. Because from looking at that, at the midget that was in USAC's booth today, I seen the lights. I seen the dummy light in the center. I seen the little box. I'm assuming the little box was just to make them light up for today.
Correct. From what I was told, there will be only one wire going from the three lights in the back running to the yellow light in the dash. Because it's going to all run off the same transmitter. So the only thing I can think of is that they're going to have to put the lights in the dash and then leave them and have a wire connector off the back. But if you're a non-USAC team, do you have to just race with a hole in your dash and have a special place for it and then put it in at every race? That to me seems illogical, especially for like Indiana Midget Week where a lot of PowerEye guys come over. Are they going to have to drill holes in their dash and then put a wire in every race? There's a lot of logistics, I think, that we don't know, so we're all speculating, but...
I think that'd be like one of the things, like how you have to put a USAC midget sticker on your car. I mean, you can take it off, you can pull the light in, pull the light out, take a sticker off, put a sticker on. I mean, it's just one of those things that you gotta do. It's just one of the things you have to do to come race with us.
Well, if they mandate it, they mandate it. Right. I mean, there's nothing that you can do to change it. It's just...
I think it's a step in a direction... Do I think it's the right direction? Do I think it's going to help anything? Time will tell, but...
I mean, let's be real honest. If a yellow comes out, when you're driving through the corner, you come off the corner and you see a yellow light at the end of the straightaway, what's the first thing you do?
Roll out of the throttle.
Start to roll out of the throttle and you're looking around.
Yeah.
Now, on a big racetrack, yeah, I've been in cases where... I've been in wrecks from letting off the gas and the guy behind me not seeing it, things like that. In this case, the only thing that concerns me there, and it's probably really invalid, but there are these idiots, and we all know that there's plenty of them, that don't look at corner lights either. So, I don't know. I'm kind of torn on it. I think when it first got shown, it was kind of hokey. I think it still is kind of hokey. The only thing I can tell for sure is they need to dim them, because those lights are super, super bright, ridiculous bright. And I mean, flash bulbs bother me, especially at certain racetracks. Flash bulbs bother me intensely bad. And
weird.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, photographer's flash, when you're going around the track, you notice photographer's flash bulbs.
Yes. Some of them. Some. There's been some that I can tell, some that I can't. And it depends on the racetrack. Like, when you run at Peru, Peru's a fairly dark racetrack anyway.
Yes, it is.
It's a fairly dark racetrack anyway, and that flash bulb, your eye, my eyes are weird anyway, because it's not, like, I have trouble, not trouble, but if it's raining out and it's dark, I have trouble seeing, because the lights and the reflection, things like that. In the race car case, it's the same kind of thing. So, I mean, my only hope is that it's dim enough to where, yeah, you can see it, and it's not so overbearingly bright. I don't want it to take away from, you know, from anybody on the racetrack. And only three of them at a time are going to be lit up anyway, so it's kind of irrelevant. But, or just lead the race, and then you never have to look at one.
Yeah, you'll have that.
I think it's... I admire the initiative. I like the initiative of it. Of, we're going to try and make things safer. At the end of the day, yes, it's drivers' responsibilities and shit to be safe. But sometimes, well, let's be honest, everyone in this room's driven a race car at one point. Sometimes you got to protect us from ourselves.
Yeah, I guess I can agree with that.
And I would like, I like that they're at least taking initiative and trying something.
Well, as long as...
It may not be the final answer, but it's a step towards finding that right answer.
Well, but to be honest with you, is it a problem? I guess, and I mean this question in the most... I don't mean this question to be negative or snarky or anything shitty, but would this even be a conversation if Brian was still with us? I think that's my question. And that's where I get the question of proactive versus reactive. To me, the proactive stance is, what do we do to make the race car safer? That's
what I thought we would have seen before we seen these lights.
When I asked, I said, you know, is there any talk of a mandatory halo? Is there talk of, yep, you know, enforcing the rule that you already have of headroom? There's a ton of guys out there that don't have the required headroom.
Right.
You know, Brian, who's on this show quite a bit, he got a midget. And I mean, I give him a ton of shit about, you know, I'll cut the cages off, let's just go race. But in the grand scheme of things, he's just trying to make his car as safe as possible. And, you know, he's very, very into headroom. He's very into getting the best seat, the best belts. I would have thought that is the direction that we would have gone. I would have rather seen USAC say, okay, we want to have our guys safe, so we want everybody to run a halo. If you're running with USAC, you can afford to put $300 in your car and put a halo on it. But some people have theories that it doesn't work. Some people have theories that it makes things worse. I get that, but some also might think that a bright-ass light looking at you in the face might be worse too.
I think this way was a way for USAC to keep it in their ballpark. Look, this is what we're going to develop. This is what we can do to make it safer versus going to, I know you can bolt them on, but versus going to a chassis manufacturer, Spike, Boss.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Whoever that is.
Yeah,
look, we need all
you go to Joe Devin and say, hey, we need you to start putting halos on all of your cars. He's probably going to look at you and say, well, why? Why is that my problem?
Well, but the whole thing is, it goes back to kind of the personal responsibility of it. I've never built a race car, but I would, you know, as everybody knows that's listened to this before, I used to race for my dad. I quit racing for dad when we weren't getting a sprint car. And dad turned around and got a sprint car after I'd left. And the reason was, he couldn't stand the thought of me getting hurt in his race car. And I understand, you know, I get it, but I don't. But at the same point, he did what he needed to do to protect me. Chassis builders, I would think, would want to do the same. Now, that's not to say that, you know, a DRC or a Maxim or a Spike or anything's unsafe. I think they're all very safe. Racing accidents happen. That's what I think, you know, AJ, when we did the show all the time, would always say, you got to make it safer, got to make it safer. I live in the theory of, yes, you have to make it safer to a point. And I think that there's a lot of... I think the light is a crutch,
yes,
of what the real issue may be.
I think the light right now is just a help, because when you're, I mean, from the driver's standpoint, when you're going down the front stretch and you're getting ready to cock it off into a turn, I mean, the light's over here,
right.
Car right in front of me. I can see that car.
True.
If I could have seen that car, I'd have been good. Or if I could have seen that light and the car light on the back of that car, I'd have been good. But I didn't see the light way over here.
I think part of me wants to make sure that people aren't fixated on that light either. Watch the
race. That is, because think about it.
Dude, race car drivers, we're all dumb. We're dumb. We like flashy, pretty shit.
Right.
And if you see a green light in the back of a race car,
you'll notice a GoPro light blinking.
And it might...
me and John Corey were talking about that earlier. I have ADD. And sometimes I will follow shit.
You don't say.
And guess what?
Squirrel!
And guess what? If that second, that leader, that second place guy, that third place guy steps on their dick and you're following that light, guess what? You're flipping too. And now you have two race cars flipping.
Well, and that's a kind of a valid point. I mean, we were, I love the look of black race cars, but like I saw Jeffrey Newell's Outlaw car.
Thing looks awesome.
Dude, thing looks badass. But it's totally black and in the night you're never going to fucking see it.
Right.
It's got gray numbers on it, even. I mean, either way. But back in 2002, hell, I remember running the top at Logan back when Logan was like awesome Logan. Mm-hmm. And, you're two or three car widths off the fence, and we were running around there, I mean, flat, wide open in the feature. And there was a black car just parked on the outside. I never saw him. I hit him and hit the shit out of him. I mean, not Sammy Swindell in a push truck. But I mean, like, with the right rear, and I mean, caved it in, and I never saw him. So, I mean, if there was a light on it, would I have seen him? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. I mean, I can applaud USAC for trying to control the situation. I just kind of wish that it would have gone a different way, and I really, and by no means am I saying that, headroom rules would fix everything and all that sort of stuff, but I Lane Cecil actually told me a couple weeks ago, he said, I really truthfully think that all standard cage cars should be turned into the 2-inch tall cage. And the 2-inch tall cage, and then that be the standard car. Because more headroom's not ever going to hurt you.
Right.
You get some of these little itty-bitty guys like Brad Sweet and Joey Saldana that can get into a car that's, tiny. And then you get these guys like Dale Blaney that need 2 or 3 extra inches of headroom, make them all tall. Eliminate the problem there. It's no different than the chassis rules that they've got now. With the World of Outlaws, there was a big stink about Chase Stockin last year. He wasn't able to race the Outlaw show at Hogstad. Why? Because the frame rails on his non-wing DRC weren't strong enough. They weren't thick enough. Well, it wasn't that the chassis wasn't safe. It's just that's what the Outlaws wanted. The Outlaws wanted... That's what they wanted.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the direction that we need to go. I don't know. But I just don't know if lights are the way to do it.
It's it's a movement in a direction versus being let's just move on to the next racetrack, the next season, and not do anything.
I can live with that. I think that's the most diplomatically way of saying you don't like it. Yes, I put words in your mouth. Are we agreeing or no?
No, I wouldn't say I don't like it. I can see the point. I can see where it helps.
You're indifferent.
I'm a race car driver. So if you tell me I have to run something to come run with you, I will do it. I will complain about it, but I will do it.
See, that's where me and you differ. I would not run. I don't like a Hans. I don't like them.
You don't like them. If a place mandated
no.
You wouldn't race.
No. And only because I see.
Well, then you're an idiot because there's other options. Go
no,
buy
no.
a hybrid.
But I don't like the. For me personally, in a dirt car, I don't think a Hans is the right way to go.
I would agree with you there.
I
don't. But
there's
other options. You still need some kind of restraint.
No.
Hans device came about because Dale Earnhardt.
Hans device came about
that
because
is for this.
Yes,
that is
it
for
is
going
for
straight for.
If you're running an asphalt late model or a pavement midget or a pavement champ car, whatever, I don't care. Yeah, Hans device all the way.
I think
because the odds of getting upside down in that is smaller, and you're going to hit something head on much higher.
Right.
But in a dirt car, I don't know if a Hans is the way to go. And for me personally, I prefer an actual neck collar that fits. The Simpson ones don't fit because they just go around your neck and they're about the size of a pancake. I've got one from M&R that I've had, I don't even know how long I've had it, but I love the thing only on the basis that it's my helmet sits on it, perfect. My head doesn't move back and forth. Will it in a crash? Sure. But I just don't know. I don't like being told I have to do something for me. And the reason why I say that is, like, I'm against motorcycle helmet laws. I'm against seatbelt laws. If Kevin Olsen wants to go around the Chili Bowl in a pair of bib overalls, an open face helmet, a bandana, and some goggles, by God, Kevin, get your ass out there and go racing. Because it's not anybody else in the line but him.
Right.
Him, that is your own personal responsibility. But then again, that's where the sanctioning bodies have to come in and say, you racers are too stupid. You have to do this.
Exactly.
But I don't know if a dirt deal, I mean, we're getting off the subject of it, but it's the personal responsibility of it.
It's personal responsibility as a car owner too, though.
Yeah, my dad
For me, as a wrench and as a car, a future car owner, and as a wrench, as a crew chief, you're not strapping in my fucking race car. Unless you're wearing a head and neck restraint, unless you're running a full containment seat, unless your safety equipment meets my standards, you are not strapping your ass in my race car. Period. Because you're not getting hurt or killed in my race car.
Okay, but to play devil's advocate, what happens if it did happen? What happens if you had every precaution known to man taken care of and something still happened?
It's an act of God. At that point, I can't do anything about it.
Right, but I guess what I'm saying is, my dad went through the exact same thing. The first sprint car he had, a buddy of mine ran it, and they had two Stevie Smith bars in the thing. They had a Butler belt full seat. He wore a Hans. He had the Schroth belts. He had to the T. And then he left the team for whatever reason. Brett Mann jumped in it, and when I got to dad's shop for the first time, the Stevie Smith bars were cut out of the thing. It had an old Hunt seat in it with a headrest, or with no headrest and a cage net on the right side of it. And he wore a helmet, a driving suit, and some shoes and gloves. That's what he ran. Now he uses a full containment seat and things like that because he never got hurt before real, real bad. But he dumped one pretty hard, and it did hurt him. And he went, maybe I do need to have one. And he got himself a Butler-built seat. You know, and he uses it now, but you know, he still doesn't use a Hans because it's just not his thing. You can go, has it saved lives? Absolutely. I think people look at it breaks collarbones. Okay, well, if it broke your collarbone, what would it have done if you didn't have it? That's, I think, something valid. In this case, the lights, I'm torn. I think it's a silly idea. But I understand it. It's just going to be interesting to see if they can implement it and it makes sense. My thought process is I don't want to see a team come from, you know, Ohio that normally runs with like Boss or something like that to come to Sprint Week and then have to drill a hole in their dash,
right,
you know, an hour before the race, hood a light in, run a light, hook another set of lights up in the back, and then they're running all the Sprint Week and then they got to take it out of the car every night. If that's how it's going to be, that's silly. If it's going to be a deal where USAC says, if you plan on running a USAC show, call me. We'll get you a light set up. Or at least the yellow light set up so that way you can have that part ran and all you need is the rear light set up.
Right.
That'd be great. I think that would be very beneficial because then everybody has no excuse to do it. It's easily done. And then it just becomes the norm. I mean, think about, what was it a few years ago? Didn't Linton, when they were still open and running micros, didn't they try to mandate like the fuel pump switch and the master switch?
Yes.
Had to be
yes.
like painted or a certain color.
Had to be red.
Or something like that. And everybody threw a damn fit. And by the time it was all said and done, nobody cared. Everybody just put the right switches in and went and raced.
Right.
So probably a moot point, but I just think it's kind of interesting. I mean, I joked a little bit about it on Twitter after talking with USAC about it today. I understand their reasoning behind it. I just want to make sure that it's, you know,
well,
implemented well. And I think that's kind of why nobody really knew what the hell was going on with it.
Yeah.
Because as of when it first came out, it was mandatory. When PRI opened yesterday, it was mandatory. Then by the end of the day, it was, no, we have no intentions of doing this right now. This is just kind of a prototype. We have no idea, yada, yada, yada. And then all of a sudden, it just turned into, yeah, it'll be sometime this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting deal. I just hope they give people the time to get it right.
To that point, though, people bitched for years. Years after the fact, after USAC and IMCA made roll cages mandatory, they bitched for years.
We're racers. That's all we do is bitch and complain.
Exactly.
That is a good point, yes.
So, it doesn't... It could be the greatest idea in the world that would save every race car driver ever from ever getting hurt, ever getting killed, anything. And it could save the car owners themselves hundreds of thousands of dollars. And guess what? We'd still bitch about it.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right.
If the light saves one life,
if the light
or
saves,
or it helps a car, or it helps a car owner not tear up one race car,
then it's
worth,
it. Yep, I agree. I do agree with that. Onto a little bit different subject, but I guess it kind of revolves around the whole driver responsibility thing. The other big news of the week was that the World of Outlaws announced drug testing is coming, and it's not just weed. It's weed, meth, coke. I think MDMA, all of it. The whole
everything.
Even Oxy. I mean,
really?
Everything. Personally, from a...
Who's
you know,
paying for that? I want to know.
They got... I can't remember who the company was, but there. It's
SurePoint
the same.
Medical.
No. No. They haven't been in outlaw racing for a couple years now.
I know, but it'd still be a really cool idea.
Well, I said that years ago,
I
that I thought
say,
that's why SurePoint...
This?
We did have this conversation that I thought... SurePoint Medical would be the one to do it, but it's the same company that does like the NFL drug testing, Major League Baseball, all that sort of stuff. And from my understanding, the way that it's done is it's all done at pill draw. So when it's done at pill draw, if your number's pulled and you're supposed to do that, you go and take a piss in a cup, and if it comes back negative, you don't get the race. Well, Sean Buckley posted the question of, do you do this in states where it's legal? Yeah. It's a good question.
That's a damn good question.
I mean, ever raced hungover before? I sure as shit have. I mean, I can remember one morning, me and Lambert woke up about 10 o'clock in the morning, and I barely wanted to get out of the car. I mean, because we slept in the car. And woke up and three, four hours later, I'm putting a driving suit on and going and racing. You know, hell, still ran second that night too, by the way. But, you know, if you're gonna hinder a guy for smoking a joint 2 weeks ago, what about the guy that smashed 17 beers last night and feels like shit? Good talk, guys.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know.
It's one of those, how far do you let the sanctioning body control, how much control do you give over the sanctioning body for the point of safety?
I will say from a standpoint of like an employer, and let's call it what it is. The World of Outlaws is an employer.
Absolutely.
If you live in the state of Colorado where marijuana is legal, there are places of employment that don't want you smoking dope.
Right.
And they drug test. Even though it's legal, you can't do it. Well, it's kind of the same thing. If you want to smoke dope and still race, then don't go run with World of Outlaws.
Exactly.
That's basically where it boils down
to. This is our sandbox. Play by our rules or don't come.
Right. I don't know. And to be fair, Boss has been doing this now for a year.
Have they caught anybody? Or has anybody been...
People have been tested, but I don't know if anybody's been caught.
Right.
I think they kind of keep that stuff hush-hush. I think at a Boss show, it'd be a lot easier to say, hey, bud, your piss came back with a shitload of THC in it. You probably shouldn't be in a race car tonight. And go, Just say your motor didn't run and go home.
Yeah.
But you see an outlaw car roll into a racetrack and then go, huh, weird. Why didn't so-and-so even race tonight? People are going to put two and two together. I think it's more, to me, it's more of a deterrent than anything to not be stupid.
Yeah.
But I've also had the theory about, you know, football players that, you know, you're making millions and millions and millions of dollars and you can't quit smoking weed. You would rather not make millions to get high twice a week.
Right.
Like, do you realize how much marijuana you can buy after you retire and play like five seasons in the NFL? That's a lot of weed.
Dude, look at Ricky Williams.
Perfect example.
Leading rusher in the NFL.
To living.
Season stops. 2 days later, he's done moved to like India or some squad.
Yeah, and all he does is and all he does is just smoke weed all day.
Smoke weed and play his guitar.
I'm pro legalization of it. I think from being in Colorado, you know, on a work trip, I saw what it did for the economy out there just from talking to some of the locals. I think it would be a great idea. Legalize it. Some may disagree. That's your deal. I think in a racing standpoint, drug testing, go for it. Go for it.
I don't think there's a bad side to it.
No, I don't. The only time that it's going to be a bad side to it is if somebody if a big name gets popped, or a false negative.
Yeah.
Because we're not dealing
false positive.
Or false positive. We're not dealing with, you know. I mean, imagine if an outlaw guy that's, you know, runs the full tour, has sponsor commitments and car owner commitments and everything else, and gets busted on a false positive, and they swear up and down that they did not do it, and it turns out they didn't. The jury of public opinion.
He'll never get it right again.
In theory, Casey Anthony never murdered her kids. According to a court of law, that woman did nothing wrong. But by God, there is nobody in this universe that if they had kids would let that bitch babysit. Am I wrong?
Peanut gallery.
There are ways
that you can circumvent that possibility. You do an A sample, you do a B sample.
They are. They are doing an A sample.
That can circumvent that.
They are doing an A.
You can get a false positive on one, but your chances of getting two false positives out of a single sample is so minute.
Right.
It's to the point of, no, don't fucking lie to me.
Right.
You smoked the pot, don't lie to me.
Right. Well, and I think the bigger thing.
Go back and run some local shows, get yourself clean, and then come back and run with
it. See, the whole thing is, though, is that where does it. What I want to know is where does it stop? If you've got, let's say, you should totally bring some of that over when you get done. And it's just. Eric's got moonshine, so I kind of want some. But
it's really good. It is pretty good.
It's delicious. But if you've got, you know. I just don't want it to turn into. I don't want somebody's career to be fucked because of either a bad mistake or a false positive. It's gonna kill somebody's career. I mean, it's going to. I don't think racers are as apologetic or as sympathetic as what football fans are.
Right.
You know,
I would agree.
I'm sorry.
Browns fans would love for Josh Gordon to come back right now.
Yes.
None of them would care if he smoked dope. They would let him smoke dope on the field for him to come back and play football for them right now.
Ooh, that's delicious. I'm one of these guys that, I'm sorry, I understand pot's legal in some places, everything. Do not smoke pot at the racetrack. Period.
No.
Don't do it.
No.
Do not do it. I catch you doing it, I'm going to take you behind your own trailer and I'm going to beat you with the tire tool.
You're little.
That's why I need the tire tool.
Little guy with a tire tool.
Little guy with a tire tool. Yeah. A note just got passed, and you want to talk about ruining somebody's career? But he did it to himself. Shane Meal. Shane Meal got kicked out of NASCAR for drugs.
Right.
Call it what it is. He got kicked out for drugs. you know,
got his life right though.
Did he? Who drug tested him? I'm not saying that he did, but I'm just saying, you know, again,
I heard that he was getting drug tested by somebody.
In the perfect perfect example of what I just said of jury of public opinion is what I just said. Is he clean? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I've got friends that have done drugs before. Do I know that they're clean now? No. I only have their word. And I think that the World of Outlaws is saying, yeah, your word is fine, but until you pee in that cup, your word is shit. It's not everybody, but I haven't seen one driver against it.
It's because no one...
Because nobody's going to go, oh, this is bullshit.
Exactly.
Because, I mean...
And then that's where the public opinion jumps on and says, hey...
Because
why do you think it is?
Because that's just as much confession to me as anything.
And I personally, and the way that they've got it structured is that the first one is a 90-day suspension and a $1,000 fine. And then it was, I think, $2,500 fine and a 180-day suspension. And then a year if you get popped a third time.
A year
if I'm you sorry, get popped at the third time, you're done.
I would
yeah,
go that far.
I'd say that's kind of light.
To me personally... The second time, that's enough.
Yeah, I'd say
you had your chance.
Three times in a year, that's kind of light.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be a year because you'd have a 90 and then a 180. Either way, if you get popped once, they did say that there's going to be higher scrutiny and your chances of having a drug test go way, way up. I'm all for that.
And your sponsors are definitely going to be asking way more questions, if not just saying, you know what, we don't want to be involved with you anymore because our t-shirt sales just took a tank.
Tyler Walker is another perfect example.
Dude may be the most talented pure race car driver we've ever seen.
I would say that he's definitely up there. I think, but what I find, you know, it's not funny, but it is funny, is that years ago when he was still running the Aircept 35 for his dad, the Dark County Sheriff was at Eldora one night and gave him a cake and said, thank you for coming and talking to our D.A.R.E. program to help us keep these kids off of drugs. And then who's the one with dreads running down the front stretch at Williams Grove getting ready to kill the flagman and then leading cars on a high-speed chase through Nevada and Utah and everywhere else? You know, the persona that people have on the outside is not always who they are. I don't hope that anybody gets popped by this. I hope they test everybody all year and they go, yep, everybody was clean.
Right.
But I just have this sneaking suspicion that there's going to be somebody that we go, holy shit.
Exactly.
I hope it, God, that moonshine got to be. I hope it doesn't. I hope it's fruitful. I hope it's good. I hope it's a positive thing. I would love to personally see USAC do it. I personally think that all series should do it. Why?
Yeah, I totally agree, but...
I think he's more getting himself prepared for the moonshine. I think that's what that was.
I mean, everybody hears rumors. Everybody hears things. I just hope that the Outlaws prove it all to be true. That there's nothing going on. That we have clean series. That we have guys that respect the sport enough not to screw it all up. What, there's no trash cans in here?
Bathrooms.
Like bathrooms. How is there not a trash can? This
right,
is a...
Right there. Bathroom right there.
Trash hotel with a...
It's a two-bedroom hotel with no trash can.
Two-bedroom hotel with no trash can in it. What kind of shithole did you get us into? Found a trash can. We're good. Okay.
I mean, it's the size...
It's the size
of my left testicle.
Yeah. Like, you can like two beer cans in there.
It's smaller than the bathroom one, too.
Hey, you know what?
Puke in the bathroom.
That was from the photographer.
What is Dallas drinking? It is clear. And
yeah, what is
scary.
Dallas drinking?
That's water. That high quality.
I have SARS, and I don't want to start coughing, so I'm just drinking water.
What'd you just say?
You have what?
SARS.
What the hell is that?
Get the fuck out!
I don't have SARS.
Is that like MRSA?
Isn't that thing where people have to wear masks?
Bird flus or whatever. Take the
So are we all going to get AIDS or something now, or like what?
I'm sorry, but you're very upset.
took an interesting story.
As long
as they don't drug test photographers, I'm good.
For what? Murder?
SARS.
Hey. I'm not passing any judgment, man.
Where is Greg with the diabetes when we need him?
Diabetes.
Diabetes.
Greg, get your, don't even get me started on that.
Get your diabetes.
What? We need to lighten this up a little bit. We got 20 minutes left that I want to do.
That's it?
Yeah.
20 minutes?
Well, yeah.
Well, let's get to it. Come on, roll.
Well, we are. Favorite, okay, something simple. Favorite racing story from last year. Can be on track, can be off track, can be funny, can be serious. Favorite story. Road trips, something. I don't remember it. How do you not remember it?
Okay, well, so it went by quick. It was done. It was quick. Went to a lot of racetracks. That's it.
The drive to Raceway Park for Hall of Fame Classic Weekend.
That was a good time.
With Jim Bob, Greg, Jess, and Shelley. And there were a lot. Like, you gotta. For those of you that know me and Greg, and know me and Jim Bob, and know me and Billy, and know me and Eric, and
especially if they know everybody.
Yeah, if you know our group, you know that there are 10 million inside jokes, and so we'll just say some stupid, like I can look at Jim Bob and say RC Cola. There's just so many inside jokes, and there were a lot of new inside jokes created on that trip.
That was
RC
this
Coley.
This,
Cola.
This
so,
year.
Shelley,
was this
if you
year.
Hear this, yes.
Your wife
RC
involves
Cola.
My favorite Little 500 story.
Yeah,
second
but dude,
favorite.
Dude, that was like 3 years ago.
I know.
That doesn't count for this year.
My favorite racing story of the year was Little 500 this year. Hampton's motor took a shit, and so we were done. We were all upset.
And you started drinking beer with me and the wife.
Fact. I was up in the
race wasn't even over. You're still technically supposed to be spotting.
No, we were out of the race. Our car was parked in the infield, so I didn't have a radio. And I didn't have a radio anymore, didn't need to be, so I started drinking a little bit, and we get done with the race and we go back to the camper and we're just kinda hanging out and you know, whatever.
Wait, does this involve something that cruises on the water?
Yeah. Well, we all
an aquatic device.
Jacob Wilson crashed pretty hard, and he was a little slightly concussed. So we were like, well, we got to make sure that he stays awake, not sleep. So we just said, well, we'll just stay up.
You cannot ice the moonshine. What is wrong with you?
He just did, and you guys are ruining this story.
Okay, continue. Sorry.
It's a great
I'm sorry.
Story.
Somebody's ruining moonshine.
Jim Bob is officially cut off from
no,
moonshine.
That's there's nothing wrong with that.
It tastes like moonshine.
It tastes like moonshine. It's the same thing.
It does not dilute alcohol when you put ice in it.
No, it just makes, yeah, it does, but you have to eat the ice too.
I can make it happen.
Yeah.
Or it'll melt.
Well, so the race is over. Me and Jacob Wilson, Dallas, we're all sitting around drinking, and Brian Tyler was there, and he left, and we were just sitting around, and I was like, Jacob, we never did a boat race this year. He's like, oh, shit, I know where there's a boat. So we went back to find this boat, and we got there, and I mean, this thing's a pile of shit. And it's an old bass boat, no motor, no nothing. It's got God knows what sitting in it. And he's like, well, let's get it out. So we tried pulling it out. It's too heavy, too sunk in. So the other kid that was with us, he goes, well, why don't we just get my truck? And I'm like, well, all right, this will work. So we first drunkenly decided, let's try bungee cords first. That'll work. No, it didn't. It about created a, well, I got our eyes blown out. So we're like, what the hell are we going to use? And I looked at Jacob, and Jacob looked at me, and I said, well, the fence right there looks like it might work. He's like, well, we ain't got any tools. And, He ain't got any tools. So I was like, I got some in the car. So we go back and get tools. And by the time this thing's all said and done, it is 4:30 in the morning. And we drag a bass boat. There's photos of it, actually. I'll post some on Twitter. They were actually posting on Twitter. We drug a bass boat through the campground. dragging it on the concrete, through the gravel, over trash cans. We trucked this bitch and parked it right at the main gate to Anderson Speedway.
Oh, God.
And then we were just laughing about it. We went back to the camper, ate breakfast, and then we were like, fuck it, let's go sit in it and drink beer. So we took about a 12-pack up there and sat in the boat, and the sun's coming up, and people are starting to leave, and other people are going to church, so they're stopping on Martin Luther King Boulevard and getting out and snapping pictures of all of us idiots sitting in this boat just laughing. And people were walking, driving by, just stopping and just laughing their asses off. And old car, there was this old car owner, I think it was Mickey Kemkin's car owner. He ended up coming out and sitting in the boat, probably a 70-year-old man, come out and sat in the boat. And Jacob's mom came out and she goes, you gotta be shitting me. Rick Dawson came by, who's the promoter at Anderson. He just pulls up and he goes, boys, I should have known it'd be you. And Jacob goes, yes, sir. And he goes, you boys gonna put this boat back? And Jake said, absolutely not. And he said, where'd you get that cable? And he goes, that's your fence. He goes, can you put my fence back up? He said, nope. He said, might as well leave it down because we'll probably drag this fucker back out next year. That was one of the most fun nights I think I've had at a racetrack in a while. That was terrible. The only other funny story was, I'm not going to name names.
No.
Couple sprint car guys, a couple mechanics, myself. We all decided to go past USAC winners. Decided to go golfing, and just so happened it was batshit cold, rainy, pouring down rain. And one of these guys is always broke, and somebody said, I'll give you $50 if you jump in that lake. Somebody else said, I'll give you another $50 if you swim across it and swim back. Said, fucking A, stripped down to his underwear and dove in. I mean, dude, it was 40 degrees and raining sideways. It was cold. I don't know if I've laughed that hard on a golf course in a while. We were playing for money, and the whole time, it was, I think, like 3-on-4. And the whole time, by the end of it, played for like 4 hours because it took forever.
And we played in a group of eight.
took forever. Yeah. I mean, made holes in the golf course. It was terrible. And next thing you know, we had the scores up and we both ended up even. So we fucked off the entire day and nobody won shit. Except one guy won $100 because he swam across a lake in his underwear in 40 degree weather. And he's not dead. He doesn't have hypothermia either.
Nothing. He finished out playing.
And he played like a champion.
Yeah.
But, no, this was a, with all the bad that happened, I think this was one of the most interesting racing years, at least for me. I think I learned a lot. I, you know, got a chance to go work on wing stuff up in Michigan and non-wing stuff down here and micros and, you know, Brian Cataldi got his first win, which was great. It was a good, interesting year. I just think that, hey, the
Alex Shanks.
Boo-boo. He's a doctor. See, the Alex Shanks thing, that was just funny. that was just funny. And I love the fact that I asked him afterwards, dude, what were you going to do if you ran top three or won that thing and got locked? And he's like, I was just going to cage stand the bitch and then tell him all to suck it. I was like, all right, I'm good with that. You know, I mean, what else are you supposed to do? But that's what racing's supposed to be. Racing's supposed to be fun.
That may be the most Cogram thing ever.
That's what's supposed to be fun. I mean, racing is supposed to be fun, and I think a lot of times things get way too serious, and, you know, it's supposed to be fun.
Why do you think I quit doing it for a living?
Man, I could say something terrible right now, but I'm not gonna, because I like you. It was a joke. But,
Does that stop anything from any of us?
No, it does. It wears on you. When me and Dad had a business and we raced, where we were selling shit, it was a lot of pressure. You know, if you're selling chassis and tires and wheels and wings, and everything else, nobody's going to buy a car from a guy that's running 18th every week. It's pressure. It is a lot of pressure. And I give a lot of credit to the guys that, you know, like Brady Bacon and like all these guys that can go out every night and perform under pressure. To me, that's cool. Kevin Thomas told me after SmackDown, he's like, dude, I'm so pumped I won this thing. I'm like, well, yeah, I would fucking hope so. You just won the SmackDown. He goes, dude, vacations are expensive. Like, he raced, you know, Jack Hewitt and Jack Hodenshield have said it numerous times.
Dude, I've gotten like 2 sips out of own jar of moonshine.
That's what happened with free moonshine.
Yeah, because you two are sipping freaking, you three, four, everybody's drinking damn tumblers, and
I'm
just like
drinking beer like a red-blooded American.
American.
Hey, what's wrong?
America.
Bourbon ain't nothing wrong with bourbon. I love Kentucky.
Like, but your sister too.
No.
No. Definitely goes hand in hand.
Leave that to Jerry. Leave that to Jerry.
Wait. Whoa.
That's just what happened. I think we need.
I'm really confused. So,
you don't need to worry about it. But
do I need to smack him?
No.
Okay.
It's okay.
So basically, you know, quality PRI so far. I think we're all antsy to go out and have some fun. I think we're gonna go grab some dinner afterwards and hang out and, you know, drink a couple beers and, you know, have a nice quiet evening. But
the look on Eric's face.
We're just gonna have a
quiet evening.
We're just gonna have a nice, quiet, quaint evening.
Guys,
play
euchre.
Play.
I'm gonna be disappointed if that's what happens.
Guys,
we already got warned
by
our neighbors.
At what point in all of the time that all of you have ever known me, have I ever been quiet?
Never.
Never.
You are the loudest human being I know. And I mean that with all due respect.
Wait, no, you can't just say "with all due respect" and then say whatever you want.
I can't.
That's not how this works.
I can't.
That's exactly how it works.
I can't, and he just did.
I wake up and piss excellence. last thing I want to say, this is kind of, you know, personal to me a little bit. Ran into Mekhi Stevens. You guys have heard me talk to about him on the show.
Is he in town? Because I've been searching for him for 2 days.
I found him today just by chance and was glad to see him. If you don't know, there's another funny story. I gave him the pep talk of my life at the Hoosier 100 like 5 years ago. The kid, give you a little backstory. He never raced anything before. He was just out of high school. He won a Skip Barber scholarship deal somehow. And he went to their program and dominated it. And the instructors were like, holy shit, we need to get this kid in contact with some people. And he worked up the ladder and worked up the ladder, and he never raced anything before. And at that time, when I met him, Sarah Elrod brought him to the Hoosier 100. And if you don't know, Hoosier 100 for me is a bad time to talk to me because I'm usually not coherent. And basically, I met this kid, and I was like, you know, what's going on? You race and all this sort of stuff. And he's like, yeah, you know, I'm racing at Putnam Park tomorrow. I've never ran there. I don't, you know, I'm nervous as hell. And I said, why are you nervous? I said, you're in a race car, man. I'm like, when you go to a racetrack, you are the biggest dick daddy that there is possible. Roll into the sign-in window, and you just go, you some bitches are running for second today, and that's all there is to it. And I said, you'd never go to a racetrack already defeated. I don't care if you go to the Belleville Nationals, the Chili Bowl, the Knoxville Nationals, anywhere. You go there to win the race. And he said, okay. You know? And he was kind of like, this drunk dude's kind of got me lit up. And he texts me on Monday, and he goes, you're not going to believe this. And I said, what? He goes, we ran 3 races that weekend, and I won all 3. And I said, attaboy, bud. And ever since then, I've been a fan of his because his demeanor. He's great with people. He's great with kids. He's great with sponsors. Very professional kid. He made it, you know, on virtually nothing. He made it to, like, the F2000, the one step below Indy Lights. And, you know, he got a raw deal, but he's a kid without money. And, you know, I talked to him today, and I said, man, just get on dirt. Just get on dirt and screw all that asphalt road course shit. He's like, man, I would love to. So this is my ploy to everybody. Get Mekhi Stevens on dirt. Because the kid has all the raw talent in the world, needs coached. And because you can't, I don't care what series it is, you can't just step into a race car the first time and go win. You can't do it. Yeah, because Jimmy Miller did it. He about lost his dick.
Yeah, I about lost my dick.
So, but it's kind of unheard of, especially for somebody with zero racing background. None. He none.
They're usually the bravest, though.
Very true. Peanut Gallery, true. Round of applause on that. That's good. They are usually the bravest. But the kid's got heart. He's a great spokesman. I told him I want to bring him out more next year. Hopefully he does. Was trying to get him on the show today and sponsorship stuff going on. So hopefully, I think he's going to come out with us tomorrow, though. Maybe go do lunch. That'd be cool.
Brunch
is not happening. There's this quaint evening is going to have me sleeping until noon.
It's just you. In the bathtub.
In the bathtub, probably. But I'm glad we're back. I'm glad we've had fun. I'm glad we've gotten to, because we would have literally done this exact same thing.
Anyway. Now we can bring entertainment to other people.
Yeah, or they can promptly turn this shit off.
Yeah, which they probably will, but...
Hey.
Maybe not.
People like it for some reason.
Really?
Swear.
I'll find out next year.
You will.
We are.
You will.
I will.
But,
I mean, people like the champ car, yes, and...
People like stuff that they can enjoy.
It's just a slightly less drunk version of the sprint car cast, and that, for the most part, so...
No, but, you know, like, Buckley's show is great. I listen to it every day at work. I love Buckley's show. It's a great show. Because he'll talk about racing, he'll talk about life, he'll talk about, you know, everything. And it's cool. He did an episode totally on racing video games. That was badass. Talk about R-Factor and, like, Danny Sullivan's IndyCar Challenge and, you know, RC Pro-Am on Nintendo.
I'm sorry, my favorite racing game ever, Ayrton Senna's F1 World Championship.
That was a good one. My personal favorite on racing games... Other than Woo 2002, because that doesn't even count.
Because there is no other that compares to it.
My favorite racing game of all time was NASCAR Dirt to Daytona.
Yes.
That was a good game.
It was a great game. Yep. The Sierra games for PC, also really great.
Yes.
But they're NASCAR, and they didn't have dirt.
Right.
And I had a dirt late model mod for that.
Really?
Yep.
That was a thing?
Yep. It actually worked pretty well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because there was one game that was like dirt and it sucked. Like you couldn't do anything on it. I don't
know. Recent?
Yeah, no, it was like, it was old. I mean, it was like 15, 20 years ago. I mean, it was old.
Yeah.
And I bought it for like, I don't even know what it was. I just bought it because with allowance money. Because I'm like, dirt car. And got it. And I'm like, you can't even drive the goddamn thing.
Right.
But
I like that Saturday Night Speedway.
Saturday Night Speedway was cool because it had midgets on it.
Yes.
Midgets at Bloomington. And just go rail the top.
Just nonstop. Yeah.
Just go rail the top at Bloomington.
We used to have so much fun on those. I thought I was, dude. I had a same Buckley experience. I thought I was pretty legit at like Woo 2002. I was like, I'm not bad, pretty good. Beat everybody around home that ran sprint cars and hung out with people and all that sort of shit. And then I came down here and Scott Hampton worked me like a $2 whore. I mean, just destroyed me. And it was terrible. Absolutely terrible.
I actually won a competition for EA Sports at the Winston Preview or whatever they used to have for NASCAR.
Yeah.
I won the whole shooting match.
Really?
At Talladega. You ran a qualifying lap at Talladega. I won tickets to the Busch race, the Cup race, free food and drink for the whole
fucking
weekend.
Celebrity hero over here.
No shit, man. That's... We got
pretty sweet.
Not only is he a photographer, he's a badass PC racer. Cool. Just caused a fire hazard in the hotel. And before all this shit burns down, I guess we'll kind of...
We should wrap the show up.
We'll wrap this show up. But thank you also to Seven Signs. They're on this year as well. Make sure you go to Seven Signs. They're on Facebook and Twitter. Wyatt Rector, I know he's super busy with shootout stuff and Chili Bowl stuff. But get with them, mention the show, get 10% off. They ship everywhere. Awesome people, great people. Jimmy, so when your car needs lettered, after you, you know, bust your dick
for
off.
For the logo. Mm-hmm. For the sale panels.
Yes.
There we go.
For the future business that's in progress.
Hey, See?
I'm not going to mention what it is, because then somebody's going to steal our shit. That's going to piss me off.
Making friends and making money. So we'll catch you guys next time. I should hopefully have a show probably... I'll probably wait till after DeCoin. Do kind of a DeCoin wrap-up, and maybe I'll get Jimmy on the phone, and we can argue with each other back and forth about how his car did, and,
We should do that.
Yeah, we'll do that. So,
I want to participate.
Well, three-way calling is really expensive. I don't know if you know this or not, the way my bank account's set up.
Let's wrap the show
up. Yeah. So, for Jimmy, for Jared, for me, Dallas, and the rest of the Peanut Gallery, thank you guys, and we'll catch you soon.
Woo! Sprint cars!